Woof, woof, woofity woof. Welcome to the Non-Chasers here for Sportsbet and, well, on the SEN track airwaves, as we do every Wednesday evening, 16th of June. Where would you rather be rather than just wrapping your ear holes around three boys talk a little bit of Greyhound Turkey? I'm your host, Paddy Garshay. Kenny, Colette, Ardish, Hawp, Scotland. You know the rest.
Hello.
How are you doing, laddie?
Yeah, it's good to be here. We've got a big week of sports and, of course, Greyhounds getting the action as well. So it's exciting times here at Sportsbet.
Very exciting. And before I do go to Shagaloa, how'd you go last night, Royal Ascot? Did you find a few winners?
I stayed up for three races and I backed two of them. For any customers out there that are staying up and watching Royal Ascot and they're not sure what to bet, my advice is always just back Oisin Murphy. He's a very talented jockey. He got the second winner last night. I don't know how he got on for the rest of the card because I'm going to watch the replays. I don't know the results for the rest of them, but he can't go too far wrong with Oisin Murphy.
You can't. First race, well, another man you can't go wrong with is old Frankie Dettori. First race of the carnival, Palace Pier.
$1.30.
It looked under a little bit of stress at the couple of furlong marker, but then he got the whip out and just said, get going, my son.
I want to see my $1.30 shots win a lot easier than that.
I know. Did you see the horse actually had like a little bit of a sort of stumble after the post?
I've missed that.
Just took a few dodgy steps, and he came back and said that the horse is just a bit clumsy with its feet. It almost tripped over like, about 50 metres past.
Like past myself.
Yeah, takes one to know one. Well, we've just talked about a minute and a half of Ascot. We've just given the Sportsbet Ascot review. Need I say any more? Because Shagaloa is saying, can you please introduce me? Shaga, how are you, my friend?
I'm very excited, actually. I'm pretty happy with how the football went on Monday. It was a great send-off for the great man, Nathan Buckley. You would have been watching that game, wouldn't you, Paddy?
I was, and it was Scharzenhausen. It was crap. So, well done to Bucks. But I just could have predicted that was going to happen the whole time.
Yeah, I was pretty confident on the Pies getting up for him.
Yeah, anyway.
They're about $5.22.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's get into some Greyhound stuff and a little bit of tip off the top. We'll start with you, Shaggy. You seem to get your tail up. Pies, rest.
Yep.
Give us your tip off the top. What do you got for us?
Race 5 at Ballarat tonight. Number 8, aptly named Made Me Blind. That went on Monday. enjoyed a few beverages while watching. Made Me Blind in the pink. She's got some outstanding early pace. She's got some fast times to her name, in pretty good form lately. So I think from out there she'll be able to muster up and get the victory over this lot. A few handy dogs in this field, it must be said. But I think she'll get the better of them.
Made Me Blind. Well named. Kenny, tip off the top.
I'm going to Cranbourne, race 6. We're going for a big price here, Paddy. There's a dog here in box 7 called Princess Lace. It's won its last two starts from Cranbourne, one from box 7. He's doing similar times to the rest of the field. It seems a fairly even race, so it's currently $16. And I'm just looking at that going, like, I don't know why he's so much bigger than the rest of the field. So I'm going for race 6 Cranbourne, box 7 Princess Lace.
Would be a nice way to start your Wednesday evening. $16 winner and then just roll it into some Royal Ascot from 11:30 p.m. onwards tonight on the Australian Eastern Seaboard. Boys, big show. We've got Dave Gleeson, of course, breeder of champions such as Shima Shine, etc., etc. So I'm looking forward to having a little bit of a yak to him after the first ad break. That would be good, but Kenny, just in the news, that's been great Greyhound stuff. How's the English Derby going over there? We're into week two now of proceedings?
We're going into week two. Is just over. We're heading into the third round.
Are you still alive?
The machine's still in there. He should go on for another few rounds. I'm losing confidence just because the front runners are running away with this, which usually English UK tracks, like, it's the front runners don't win as often as here in Australia, but it looks to be happening at Towcester. So there's a few dogs at the front of the market, like Native Maestro, Deerjet Sydney, Highlight Arkle are starting to look like the big chances here. So if you're doing some form, look at it like Australian races, just been doing that map and backing the dogs that are going to hit the front.
What is your tip paying still?
Oh, he's 26 bucks, so he hasn't moved that much from 34.
That's all right.
He's traveling all right, but just he needs a bit of box manners, so hopefully he can start pinging.
Well, you got to be in it to win it, and he is still in the thing. Gentlemen, saw the news midweek. It's not a greyhound, but a Kelpie was sold for $35,000.
That's Mr. Speaker money.
But a bit of a song and dance about a dog being sold for a lot of money.
A Kelpie.
Champion greyhounds get sold for a little bit more than that, wouldn't
they? They're very clever.
A Kelpie, you just think.
This Kelpie.
Excuse me for being a misguided foreign, but a Kelpie is like it's an Australian sheepdog, yeah?
Yeah, sheepdog. It's called Hoover. Very smart, regally bred dog, so they say. And
that's your nickname, isn't it, Patty Hoover?
Yeah. Let's just say it's manners and etiquette and hype reel of the dog was too good to say no to. So one farmer in Western Victoria just decided to splash 35 gorillas out on this dog. So yeah, it'd be good to see if old Hoover's got any speed, any box manners out of the meadows. But alas,
he must have been running his own version of Fast Bucks to get that kind of money.
Yeah. Speaking of Fast Bucks, haven't you got the leaderboard for us this week
for Fast Bucks?
Yeah,
I was meant to say $5 dog. I do have a leaderboard for Fast Bucks this week. I do.
Well, we'll get it. We will get into it a little bit later. Let's get into some prize money. Prize money has that doggy one
in the window. The one with the waggly tail.
Okay. A little bit of a slightly, well, it's not different. It's the game's still the same, but the theme amongst these three dogs is champion sires. Okay? So how well do you know your champion sires? Prize money. Music up in the background.
Hold on, so we're going for like prize money that dog earned or how much
that they won on the track.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I should clarify. Music up. Dog number one. Cosmic Rumble. Jagger.
300,000.
Kenny.
I have actually no idea. I'll go 350,000 and hope that Jagger's close enough.
321,000.
Ah, sick.
325. Jagger gets it. By a head pop. 1-0 Jagger. Dog two, Diana double one, Kenny.
He's one of the top earners of all time. I'll go for 1.2 million.
Shagger.
I'll go 1.1 million.
Ah, he's right.
1.16 million. So Kenny gets it. Just. And it's 1-0. Dog number three, champion size, Fabregas. Shagger.
I'll go 250,000.
Kenny.
Yeah, I don't think he's got that much prize money. I'll go for, I say Shagger's not too far off, I'll go for 200,000.
What were you again, Shagger?
250.
Kenny wins 121,505. Runs over the top of him in how much prize money. Very, very good. Let's go straight into horror calls. Now, this week on Horror Calls, I've changed tack a little bit differently. I was scouring the internet on YouTube for, I've been tipped off that there are some Horror Calls in Mexico, namely Caliente Raceway in Tijuana. So for those geographically playing, that's just under the border across from San Diego there on the west coast of the United States of America, and obviously Mexico for Tijuana. And I came across this advertisement from the early 90s, and it's actually asking Americans to come down and bet at the Mexican track and have some fun and try and win their money. Listen to this advertisement from the early 90s from Caliente Tijuana Raceway.
Well, it's fast, fun, and easy. Break away to the track. Down It's now easier than ever to enjoy year-round thoroughbred and greyhound racing at Caliente. Take our free Tijuana taxi from the border to the track and back. Drive to the border and walk across. Your free taxi is waiting to take you to the fun at Caliente.
Come south to Caliente. The fun is really back.
I just can't believe that how times have changed. Now they've slapped up a big wall in between these two places, but only 15 years ago, they were just saying, hey, get on the bus, come down and walk down to the track and come and have some fun.
Was that only 15 years ago?
Well, early 90s, sorry. My maths a bit wrong. 20 years ago. But now they've slapped up a wall. But only that time ago, they were saying, yeah, get on a bus, come down, come to the Mexican Grays, have the night of your life. You're guaranteed to win just about.
They were having a great old time.
Yeah.
I've been to Tijuana, and that was not my experience.
You've been
that ad looked like a really family friendly environment, and I can assure you, from my day in Tijuana, not a family atmosphere.
Surely you went to the world famous Caliente Raceway if you went to Tijuana.
No, I did not. I was advised, actually. We got there. I was with a big group, and we got dropped behind a shop that was sort of led into the main street of Tijuana. And we were told to go through the back entrance of this shop, come out onto the main street, walk down the street, cross the road, and come back, and do not turn left or right at any point. And at every T intersection, I did look left and right. Never once was I tempted to go down any of those streets.
Jesus.
It was an interesting place.
We've opened a can of worms. Well,
I had some interesting encounters with locals too.
Jesus. All right.
Podcast
taking a real.
What do you mean by that? Is there a few offspring all around Mexico or what's going on there?
The people posing as police and all sorts of people. But yeah.
I'd say no wonder Trump built that wall. He didn't want people not going to his casinos.
Well, I still think that the way that this place sold me, I've got to get there at one point. You know, they race there about five times a week at this Caliente Raceway.
Oh, five times a day.
Oh, pretty much. They do morning meetings and night meetings at this place. It's just like they're just cramming out the races. Anyway,
they're looking after those hands.
From all I hear that they are. So Caliente is Mexican greyhound racing. If you just joined, that's what we're talking about. $5 dog.
$5 dog. Whoa.
Okay, $5 dog. Shag, I got us back on the straight and narrow this week. Pete Riley even texted in saying what an honour it is to handle the $5 dog selection. It was Carry On Liam. And it won like this on Thursday night.
Racing, Carry On Liam came out nicely. The insides vying for the lead. Zipping Annabelle trying to go with it, but Carry On Liam's the front runner by about two lengths with a lap to go. Zipping Annabelle goes up to second. Third on the inside was Zipping Clifford. A bit deeper on the track was Nikki Foros. Then for the back was So Predictable, and well back was Joyful, but down the back, Carry On Liam is carrying on in front. It's doing it well, about three lengths in front. Zipping Annabelle in second. Around the outside, Zipping Clifford, and then for the back, So Predictable, but up around the corner, Carry On Liam still about two lengths in front. Zipping Annabelle won't go away. Carry On Liam clear. Carry On Liam wins it about two lengths, either Zipping Clifford or Zipping Annabelle for the miners.
Well done, Shagaloa. Very good. That takes the kitty to $12.50. It jumped at 6 to 4. So $5 on wins us $12.50. You got any thoughts about that, or was it just as expected when you step up to the plate with the $5 in your hand?
No, well, the previous time with a dog out of box one, we're all in. He pulled a toenail out during the run. At least he got around unscathed and was able to get the win. So, yeah, you never know. But we're happy.
Good. Shaq, Kenny, baton pass to you. $12.50. What do you got?
I'm going to go to race three at the Meadows Thursday night. I'm going to go for a dog. This dog caught my eye. I was out in Sandown one Sunday afternoon having a few cups of tea and watching the greyhound racing. And the breeding caught my eye. This bitch is out of Aeroplane Lady and an Irish dog called Droopy's Jet. it's not something we've seen it before with dogs like Premier Fantasy and stuff, but Australia's not investing enough in some Irish stud dogs, and it's good to see that the dealies are, because I feel like sometimes you just go, oh, Fernando Beale or Barcia Beale. I mean, there are more options out there. Droopy's Jet is the top sire in Ireland. Now, this dog's running on okay. A few races back, I was in box one at the Meadows and clocked 29.83. Returns to the Meadows here, gets box one again, has decent early pace, and if it can do anything like that time, it should win this race. I think it's currently around $1.90.
We'll have to have a look.
It's Indy, but I like it. Indy Matilla, daughter of the Droopy's Jet.
Yep, Indy Matilda, Andrea Daly, train, two-year-old bitch, by Droopy's Jet, $1.85. It's on $12.50 on that doggy, and of course, race four at the Meadows on Thursday night.
Race four.
Could be an entree into the race four, number one. Fast bucks. Okay, Kenny. Can you give us a bit of a scoreboard update for Fastbacks, please?
So just the way it works, to remind our listeners, it's a $10 level stake on the Vic Tote.
Yep.
We've had 188 races so far. In last place is Mr. Andrew Gunner, who's missed a load of nights, is on minus $176. In second place is myself on minus $79. But way in the lead. Now, just think about this. This is 188 races. You have to bet in every one, and then you don't get your first choice in every one. Shagger is a mile in front on 326 smackers.
Well done, Shagger. That's going at some nice percentages there, mate, on ROI. Let's see if you can hold it together this race day. Where are we going?
I'll let Shagger decide.
Well, surely Bendigo, I reckon, Friday.
I reckon we'll go Bendigo. We've got 12 feature race finals. Huge night.
Pink Diamond.
Breeders, owners and trainers, yeah.
Mm. It's fairyland for them on Wednesday, on Friday night at Bendigo. And let's go with our fast bucks there. Music up, please. Race one, Shagger.
Off and gone.
Kenny.
More Punga Gris.
Race two, Kenny.
Fernando's Quest.
Shagger.
Untapped Ability.
Race three, Shagger.
Rebellious.
Kenny.
Masked Avenger.
Race four, Kenny.
Major Sacrifice.
Shagger.
Royal Deed.
Race five, Shagger.
Ferdinand Boy.
Kenny.
Aussie Secret.
Race six, Kenny.
Five Star.
Shagger.
Whatever I say.
What did you say?
That's an improv.
Nah, I'm joking. Race seven, Kenny.
Kablans.
Shagger.
Aston Fastnet.
Race eight, Shagger.
Aston Ruby.
Kenny.
I'll have to go Shimmer Shine.
Race nine, Shagger.
Sweet Petite.
Kenny.
Mapunga Gertie.
Race 10, Kenny.
Speedstar.
Shagger.
Lance Link.
Race 11, Shagger.
King of All.
Kenny.
Ask for More.
Race 12, Kenny.
Do me a favor last week, Roxy Yusuki.
And Shagger.
Aston Resort.
Very, very, very good. Let's take a break here on the non-chases. After the break, we've got our man, David Gleeson. We're going to talk a little bit of breeding. I'm going to let you guys really ask the hard-hitting questions. We'll speak to him after the break. Stay with us on the non-chasers. Welcome back to the non-chasers here on SEN Track for Sportsbet. We've got a little treat. I mean, Shagger is very, very good at going out and getting a phone number, but someone who's better than him at that is his old man. And his old man was able to tee up Dave Gleeson, who is a member of the Dave Robbs Syndicate, and he has bred some absolute champions of the Greyhound circuit. None other better than the Shimmer Shine, Shimmer Classic, and the rest. Dave Gleeson, welcome to the non-chasers, mate.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Welcome to be here.
How many Shimmer dogs have you bred?
Oh, well, how long is a piece of string? But probably with the current lot, we're up to our fourth litter. And they are all Shimmer dogs, you know. We've got some babies on the ground that are only 2 weeks old. So, yeah, and all of the other ones, we've had about a 95% success rate with them. So that means that not only do we breed them, we rear them and we break them in, do it all at home, all down at Bob's place, down at Cooyerup. And we don't take them to dailies until they're about 16 months old, and then the story tells itself. But we've been very lucky that every dog we've bred virtually has got to the track, probably only one that didn't.
Fantastic. And you mentioned the dailies. How long has the owner-trainer relationship been going there, Dave?
Probably about 10 years. Or 10 or 11 years.
And you've been involved in the game much longer than that, haven't you? And,
oh, yeah.
And what? How did it evolve over the years?
Well, probably I started out as a very young person. You know, I was only about 18 or 19 when I got a dog because I got sick of riding the bike. I had a crooked knee from trying to play football. And, you know, the cure was under the knife, or it was just physio time and all of that sort of stuff. Because when you did a cartilage back in the 60s, you know, you were off the scene for 6 months in plaster and on crutches. So I didn't go down that pathway. I did rode the bike and all that sort of thing. And then I got sick of riding the bike, and then I was walking and trying to half jog, and that became boring. So I found myself a dog, and
nice.
It's the reason that I got cracking. You know, started off with one dog, became two, became four, and so on. So way back in the early days of Shepparton, I bred my first litter of dogs, and I think that they were born about 1971, and they were Milam Simbi Werthelet. And Werthelet was Milam Simbi was a Melbourne Cup winner, and Werthelet was a very good stayer around Sandown and Olympic Park. And I used to, when they first started off, I trundled up to Shepparton. Shepparton was a very, very brand new track. I think we arrived there only at the second meeting and won a double on the night. So, and there was 50 bookmakers at Shepparton at that time, which was unbelievable. You know, the crowd, everyone in Shepparton was there, I guess, and the surrounding areas. So
beautiful.
No, Tremellon's got sucked in as well.
There's definitely would have been a few from my family down that way at that time. Obviously, look, at the moment, you've got a few that are absolutely flying. Bendigo this Friday, we've already touched on the Pink Diamond series culminating at Bendigo. You've got Shimmer Classic and Shimmer Shine engaged in a couple of the finals there. Have you scanned through your opposition there, and how do you see your chances Friday night with those two?
Well, if they come out clean, they can both win without a doubt. In the case of the sprint event, you know, the 425, it's not like, it's better than sort of those shorter course ones that are 380s and 400s where they start basically, you know, very short, sharp run and then you're on the turn. And those sort of races generally, you know, have a lot of interference and that in them. And in the case of Bendigo is actually a good run to the first corner on the 425-metre side. So, I mean, I know the way the draw is. Box draws determine races in a lot of cases, but I'd rather be near the fence than near the outside in a speed event where there's so much pace. You know, it's unbelievable amount of pace.
Yeah.
But if Shimmer Classic lands on her feet, they won't see which way she goes. They'll only see the back of her because she's absolutely scintillating with her speed.
Yeah, when she nails that start, she's right. Incredible, isn't she?
Yeah, well, you know, in the mud and the slop at Ballarat last week, she ran incredible time, and yet she didn't fly the lids, but she did fly once she got on the ground.
And Shimmer Shine, Dave, I've just had a look here. 60 starts, 35 wins. He started in double-figure odds once. And in 56 other starts, he's been sub-$5. That's one of the most amazing SP profiles I've ever seen. Is he the favourite son, the favourite dog you've ever bred?
Without a doubt. He's a most fantastic dog. He's as quiet as a mouse. Put him in the car and you don't even see where he is, because one time I had to take him down to the vet at Cranbourne via dailies, you know. They wanted me to get him checked on a certain area, and luckily we did, and we clicked him and got him back into – his back was out and we got it right. George Daly is amazing how he takes care of the mechanical side of all of the dogs at dailies. And especially ours, he has a special affinity with them because he always wants to buy a couple of them. we duly sell him, and he's been using the bitches especially to breed on with quite a lot of success up till now. And I expect that to just keep going, just keep rolling on. But Shimmer Shine, he's just a magic dog. There's no doubt about it, you know. He just sometimes can get a little bit overawed at the start, where he can, you know, sort of come out slow or skid over or do something a bit stupid, but it's only his endeavour to get going. But if he gets out clean on Friday night, I expect that they will see how quick he can really go.
All over Red Rover. Have you sold any that you regret selling that have come on to be absolute stars?
I never regret selling any, you know, because people who do, I'm generally pretty selective, Bob and I, we're selective who we might sell them to, because we want to ensure that they get reared properly and get taken care of properly and all that. Probably the best dog we've sold is Shimmer Breeze, and, you know, Tim Aloisi and his buddies over there in Adelaide, they bought three of them off us, and we sold them, and, you know, we wished them well. And they had bought a couple previously, which they'd had success with, but Shimmer Breeze, oh, she was a little cracker, and she's got a litter of babies on the ground now. So hopefully the line keeps going, and that Tim Aloisi and his mates get the benefit out of what they've bred out of her.
Dave, on the subject of being selective, so like obviously these dogs are out of Shima Song. You've taken her to Barcia Beale, Mapunga Blazer, Bernardo. When you're deciding on a sire, how do you weigh things up? Do you look at the actual dog's times it's run, or do you look at the progeny that's already on the track, or are you looking at dam lines? Like which would you rank the highest when you're looking at these things?
Without a doubt, the dam lines. You know, because in the case of Shimmer Song and her mother Shimmer Gooney and her mother Messines, and you can just go back to 1964, and in that's as far back as I could go. But from dam to dam to dam and so on, all the way right up as far as Shimmer Song, they've just kept producing good class dogs, and it just didn't end there. The branches spewed out sideways, and they picked up lots of others, you know, that have been highly successful dogs. And without a doubt, you know, the same with a sire. You know, I don't like to be looking at a sire who is a one-off sire a la his family tree and his brothers, you know, the litter he's out of. See, Bernardo is an example, you know, like his litter was a fantastic litter. There's some fantastic dogs in that particular litter and previous litter from the dam line that he's been out of, you know. So I just put everything on the dam line, and I can only say at this stage the success has come to us via that method.
If there was any bitches in the country that are racing at the minute that you could have in your kennel for breeding, which one would you choose?
Oh, that's a very interesting question, but I'd probably like Quara Bale.
Yeah.
And I'd probably like Black Opium. And, you know, I'd probably have to do a bit of study, but at this stage I'm probably very happy to stay down the line that we've been travelling. because
that's been pretty good. And on the sire side of things, are there any sires out there at the moment that you haven't been to that you're eyeing off and you'd like to cross with one of your breeding bitches?
Yeah, well, probably the problem that you're faced with, Shannon, is that a lot of these dogs are either by Fernando Bale or by Barsha Bale. And that limits the situation. I'm okay with Shimmer Song. I can go down the pathway of dogs of by Fernando Bale, but without using him himself. But it just Barsha Bale has been such a prominent sire. And there's more to a sire than just saying, oh, yeah, he's got a lot of good winners. Geez, they're going good. The only way really I also believe in is the physical size of the sires, how tall they are, how long they are. And if you look at the Barsha Bale progeny, they're tall and they're long. And that I've got another litter that are 17 months old that are by Barsha Bale out of Shimmer Song. So I went Barsha Bale once, Mpunga Blazer second, Barsha Bale third and Bernardo fourth, right? So those particular dogs, I've only got one dog in the litter and he's a magnificent looking specimen and he moves like greased lightning. And I've got there's a bitch in the litter too. Oh, she's an absolute cracker. And I'm looking forward to them. But the bitches, there's three bitches, the whole lot of them are over 30 kilos. You know, 30.5, maybe 31 kilos. So you've got a lot going for you when you've got physical size and speed in the legs.
Just on the general like breeding at the moment, it is kind of saturated with Fernando Bales and Bercia Bales. I've seen the dailies. They have a dog of tomorrow night called Indy Matilda. They've gone to an Irish sire called Droopy's Jet. Have you ever looked further afield and looked into actually maybe getting a few Irish dog straws over?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, Droopy's Buick is one, isn't it? Is that the one?
Yeah. Droopy's Jet's the one tomorrow night, but Droopy's Buick was one as well. There's a few of those Droopy's around.
I think the American sires have been very good too. You know, it's obvious KC and all has the cream comes to the top, doesn't it? And a lot of the American sires, basically, they've got they're Irish sires to begin with, you know, because they developed their lines of breeding from the Irish, you know, and as a result, you know, they've got what they've got because in America, if you haven't had 100 starts, they don't want to go to you as a sire.
Fascinating stuff, Dave. Now, we really appreciate you coming on to the Non-Chasers and we hope that the proven recipe you've got going can prove successful for many, many years to come, mate. So appreciate you joining us on the Non-Chasers. Dave Gleeson.
Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers, Dave.
Good on you, Dave. Thank you.
Cheers, Dave. We'll take a quick break here on the Non-Chasers and we'll be back with plenty more after this. Welcome back to the Non-Chasers here on SEN Track for Sportsbet. Just heard from Dave Gleeson there, fascinating insight into the life of a breeder, and it goes to show when you have a pretty bloody handy one, it's a very, very enjoyable caper. He did say off-air as well he wanted to thank his partner, Bob Cummings, as of course part of the Dave Robb syndicate, which owns a lot of these dogs. So, Bob, there's your little congratulations from us that your old mate Dave wasn't able to squeeze in live on the interview, but moving on to the important stuff, and let's do a little bit of this. Let's shag.
Well, I've got an idea. Why don't we shag?
All right. Well, Meadows is actually taking the Thursday night Metro slot this week. And look, I'll just go through pretty quickly. First tip for the night is race 3, number 1, as Kenny mentioned, Indy Matilda, beautifully drawn to win here. Yeah, she's a handy one on the up with a good PB at the Meadows and fancy her chances there. So race 3, number 1, Indy Matilda.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And then moving on to race 4, number 3, Jarrick Bale has recently stepped up to the 600s and is flying. So I like his chances to win this race.
Excuse me.
A couple of handy ones drawn to the inside. The Million Dollar Chase finalist, of course, Shadow Mist, and Mr. Speaker drawn in the red. I actually do really like the inside too, to be up there challenging. I don't think either of them are going to catch Jarrick Bale if he gets around clean. So maybe a same race multi if you want to chuck in Jarrick Bale for a win and perhaps Mr. Speaker and Shadow Mist to both run a top four.
Maybe put Mr. Speaker in for a top eight.
Oh, come on.
There's only seven dogs, Kenny. I reckon we can be a bit more generous than that.
Come on, Speaker. Come on.
A really interesting race, race six. We've got Providence Bale, who's just been in unbelievable form of late, drawn in box one, but up against Tigalong Tonk. I reckon that those two run the Quinella there. So race six, number one, Providence Bale, and number six, Tigalong Tonk.
Yeah. He went down last week, the Tonk, at $1.20.
Yeah, it just goes to show, you know, if you don't nail that start, can be all over. He only did a 5.28 to the first peg, and you know, when you're up against something as good as Providence Bale, who is aiming for his eighth consecutive win, you've got to do things right. So fancy those two to run the Quinella again.
Yeah, and then
race 11, number five, substantial. Look, this is a very handy up-and-comer for Anthony as a party. Very good dog drawn inside him in Green Blazer. Will be a bit of a challenger there, but I think he'll have enough early toe substantial to find the lead early and get the win.
Yeah, baby.
Substantial amount 11, of early
number
toe.
Five, substantial. Yes. Substantial
you
amount.
You should have said it, Shagger.
Very good. Oh, no, I was setting them up for you to knock them down.
Good, and I'm glad you've given the speaker a smidgen of hope. Let's hope he can produce tomorrow night.
He is firing, though. I take it on good mail that he's up and
well. Let's hope.
Yep.
Let's jump on a plane and head west. Invest in the West.
Right, we're not going west yet. We're heading up to Grafton. Grafton is back after they've been renovated.
New track.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think there's been no racing there for 8 months or something. So I thought I'd give him a shout out. Welcome back, Grafton. I'm heading to race six. I like box one here, deck 52. Won last week from box six. Moves into the cherry here. Looks a very hot dog in this race. Will be a sharp price, so I'm going to go for a same race multi. Box one, deck 52 to win. And box seven, Shinjuku top four. Sorry. So it's a box one deck 52 to win and Shinjuku top four. Then I'm going to head off to Richmond, race three, Friday night again. Going to have a very speculative bet here. Box six, Zip in Alabama, might have a bit of potential. It's only its third start. Has a brawler called Zip in Conway. It's won four from at Bulleye. And another brawler called Zip in Ontario, who's clocked 29.80 at Wente. So he hasn't shown it yet, but there could be potential there. Box five is vacant. Box four wants the rail. Box seven puts less effort into coming out of the traps than Paddy does into this podcast. So I think he's well mapped here. So let's Richmond race three, Friday night. We're going for box six, Zipping Alabama. And then we're going to stick with Friday night, but we're heading now south to Bendigo. I give a shout out to Cass's Belly. Won well on his Victorian debut last week, but we're not going for him here. I'm going for a each way bet here on box four, whatever I say. Showing blister and early pace. He's going to have the likes of five star breathing down his neck, but he's going to be in front, so looks a decent enough each way bet. And then I'll finish off with Cannington Saturday. Race four, Jackson County steps up to 600 after winning the Winter Derby last week. If he can show the early toe he showed last week, he's got zero paces in box and was inside in box two and three. He can win this race, and then I'll finish off with race five. West on Mia loves the cherry. She gets it here. Tough race, but has the rails. So I'm going to finish off Cannington Saturday, race five, West on Mia.
It's very, very efficient work from you boys investing in the West. And let's shag. Let's take a little break here. We'll come back to wrap it all up with our favourite segments, bit of dog food, show me the money, and the multi. Of course, last week we had to pull the multi down because dog got scratched, and then our replacement dog got scratched again. So we didn't pull it away from you. It just had to get pulled down for that reason, but we'll be firing back up with another one this week. Back with more on Chasers after the break. Welcome back to the No Chasers here on SEN Track for Sports Bet, and it's time to wrap it all up as we hit the stretch here with a little bit of dog food.
Ach, chum, it's so chumpy, you can carve it.
So good, so tasty. It's such a great segment. Dog food this week, the theme is Royal Ascot, of course, over in England at the moment. Can we test our buzzers, please, Kenny?
Shimmer.
Okay, Shagger?
Royal.
Okay, music up in the background. Number one, Royal Ascot.
Shimmer.
Royal.
Shimmer.
That's a term.
No, it's a dog. There was a dog in 2007 called Royal Ascot. Negative one to you. Question two, undulating.
Shimmer.
Royal.
Shimmer, that's you.
It's a dog.
Incorrect. It's a term. Undulating surface at Royal Ascot. You're a negative two. You've stated the boxes. Question three, Queen's Hat.
Shimmer.
Royal.
That's royal.
It's a dog.
No. It wasn't. Yeah. He's jumped the gun. It's Shagger's turn. What is it, Shagger?
Term.
Correct.
Wow, I was trying to throw him off.
One to negative two.
I thought I could confidently say dog, you'd just follow me in.
Question four, black caviar.
Shimmer.
Royal.
Shimmer.
Isn't that a horse?
Yes, it is a horse.
So it's a term?
No. There's also a name of a dog.
Jeez, I've had a mirror here.
Is that a travesty or what? You can't be doing that. Negative three to you. Wow, you are striking out hard here.
I'll see you later.
All right. Luckily, this question's worth 5 points. Question five, top hat.
Royal.
Royal.
Royal. Dog.
Correct. Bang. Well done.
10-0, Shagger.
Profoundly won there, Shagger. That's the biggest thumping in dog food ever. Boys, show me the money.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk. Here
comes the money. I'm going to kick us off, boys, and it's just absolutely remiss of me not to have a crack at my boy. Race four, number one, Mr. Speaker at $7.
And that's Shagger at the Meadows tomorrow night. Yep. I'll go Friday Night Bendigo. One I mentioned earlier, Risk 6, Box 4, whatever I say, at $10.
Shagger?
Race 1, The Meadows on Thursday. Number 4, Elephant.
Elephant.
$6 at the moment.
Great name for a dog. Let's hope it's a bit faster than an elephant. The Multi, of course, didn't get to do it last week because our dogs got scratched. They won't this week. I'm chucking in a Race 2, Number 1, Paddy Wants Pats. Shagger?
Nice. I'll go Race 6 at the Meadows Thursday. Number 1, Providence Bale.
Kenny?
I like Dave's confidence earlier, so I'm going to put up the third and fourth selections. Bendigo Friday, Race 5, Shimmer Classic, and Race 8, Box 1, Shimmer Shine.
Oh, and what's our price?
Shagger, he's our...
Any three to place, $2.50.
Oi, oi.
Oh, 6-4 in the old. Beautiful stuff. That's it, boys. Great episode. Dave Gleeson was a ripper. Plenty of good oil there to go to into your Thursday, Friday, Saturday greyhounds. That's all. Like, listen, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. But most importantly, just gamble responsibly. Hooroo.
Hooroo.
Bye-bye.
See ya.